In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
God bless you all today. God bless you. You are loved by the Lord. He gave his life for you and rose from the dead. He has a life planned for you. And you say, but I'm old or I'm sick. And I tell you, God has a life planned for you out of love. You know, he loves you in such a way. I was once a deacon. And as I was the deacon at this church in Salem, the Lord told me that someone there was going to commit suicide. I was going to give the talk that day on the love of God. And I just heard that somebody was going to commit suicide. And I said, I better speak to that. And I spoke to that about the love of God, about Jesus who died in our place, about how much he wanted to fill us with his presence, that if we had no right to take our own lives, we had only the right to praise God for what he's given us. Well, days later, a lady called me up and said, you know what? I had the pills all ready. And I said to the Lord, you have one more chance. And thank God he told me someone was going to commit suicide. I tell you, we need to hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. What about the young girl who had anorexia? Her father brought her to me. She looked like a skeleton. And so I said to the father, she's not going to eat because we tell her to eat. We need to get a word from God. So I gave her the lectionary, which is the readings of the scripture. And I asked her to open up to a place. And she opened up to the place, give her something to eat. She's the one that opened up. She's the one that pointed to it. I said, what do you want to eat? She said, I'd love a vanilla frap. Said to her father, go get her a vanilla frap. You see, God is active in people's lives who love Jesus. He is active in people's lives who love Jesus. Luke 22, verse 39. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. I tell you, the Mount of Olives was the place that looked into the holy city of Jerusalem. This is where Jesus wept because he said, I would have been like a mother hen who took her brood under my wings, but you would not come. And Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, and what does he go there for? To pray. And the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, pray that you may not come into temptation. I tell you, Jesus was starting to absorb the sins of the world into himself at the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means taking all the good out of the olive, crushing the olive. And Jesus was being crushed this day at the Mount of Olives. Then he withdrew from there about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Was he saying, I don't want to die? No. He was absorbing the sin of the world, and he needs help. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. He got the help from the Father by an angel. Oh, yes. You see, God hears and answers prayer, not only the prayer of Jesus, but the prayer of his people, because we are connected to the head who is Jesus, the Messiah. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from the prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. Oh, it was a heavy place when Jesus was absorbing the sins of the world. he says when he was on the cross, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself, all people to myself. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial or temptation. And while he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Imagine, he's going to betray Jesus with the kiss. How sad. How sad. Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man? When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, Lord, should we strike with the sword? Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. You would think that they would, after this miracle, that they would change their mind. But they're out to kill Jesus for many reasons, especially the reason that people are calling him king. And if the king in Rome hears about that, he will close the temple. I tell you, the temple closed in the year 70. Why? Because they failed to realize the visitation of God in Christ Jesus. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour is the hour and the power of darkness. Oh, yes. But Jesus broke that darkness through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's time for glory in the name of Jesus. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, he sat down together. Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Why did Peter deny it? He's scared, filled with fear. Fear is useless. Just trust Jesus. He denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, you were also one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. He's afraid. He's afraid. Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And at that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. I want to tell you something. The best of men are men at best. The best of men are men at best. Oh, yes, you can't count on people. You can only count on Jesus and those who follow Jesus. And even those who follow Jesus can, you know, renege and be afraid and say, I don't know him. Well, I do know him. I know him. His name is Jesus, Messiah. He is the one who died for my sins. He is the one who was buried for me. He is the one who rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And he went out and wept bitterly. Ah, Peter weeps bitterly. Now, what's the difference between Judas and Peter? Peter knows he can have forgiveness. Judas didn't experience the forgiveness. He hangs himself. He could have had forgiveness too. But you see, he hangs himself. What about you? What about you? Do you know that God has forgiveness for you? You say, how do you know that, Father Tom? Well, I know that because Jesus died on the cross for you. He came to seek and save that which was lost. You're lost today. Be found. give your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the men were holding Jesus began to mock and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on Jesus. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the scribes, gathered together. They're going to turn the crowd against Jesus. Oh yes, these were the religious people. These are the people that wore the right clothes and said the right words. And they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." Jesus replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." Hallelujah. That's where he is now, at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He ever lives to make intercession for us. All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Chapter 23. Then the assembly rose as the body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes." This wasn't true. He said, "What is this coin? Who's on this side?" And they said, "Caesar." "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God." What belongs to God? Everything. That's why we cannot boast in the sight of God. Whatever we have that is good has been given as a gift, and it should be used to bring people to Jesus. And saying that he himself is the Messiah, the King. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up people by teaching throughout all of Judea from Galilee, where he began, to this place." Verse 6, then Pilate heard this. He asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time, for the Passover. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. You see, his heart was in the wrong place. He wanted firecrackers. That's what he wanted. He wanted firecrackers. And you know what? Jesus is not going to do a sign unless people have faith. Oh yes, people have faith. Blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus healed his blind eyes. Why? Because he had faith. He had faith. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with one another. Before that, they had been enemies. So Jesus himself allows that these people become friends, the people that are going to kill him. I'm telling you, this Jesus is tremendous. He's tremendous. He is wonderful. Verse 13 of the 23rd chapter. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the leaders of the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who is perverting the people. Here I am examining him in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged, and I will release him. Oh, then they all shouted out together, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Do you want to know what? I'm Barabbas. I've sinned, and Jesus became the sin offering. You are Barabbas. You sinned, and Jesus became the sin offering. It was the custom of the Jews that during Passover that they let go one prisoner, and they did not let Jesus go. They let Barabbas go. And we are Barabbas. Oh yes, we are Barabbas. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept saying urgently, demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed, unfortunately. Well, unfortunately for Jesus, but very fortunately for us, because by his cross he has redeemed the world. By his blood he has forgiven us. So Pilate gave this verdict that their demand should be granted. He released Barabbas, the one they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene. I tell you, he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. What does that mean? Alexander and Rufus were known to the Roman community. Mark writes to Rome. What does that mean? Simon of Cyrene became a Christian as he's carrying the cross for Jesus, and his sons are Christians in Rome. Oh yes. They seized the man Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to the women and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.'" I'm telling you, today is the day of walking for pro-life in Washington. And you know what? I tell you, people are delighted that they have had abortions. Oh, yes. But I tell you, they really aren't delighted because they're all post-abortive. Post-abortion. And there's sad. And you know what? Jesus can forgive them if they turn to Jesus. Go to confession and confess it. The Pope says to the confessors, forgive people who have had abortions. Yes, they didn't know any better, maybe. Or even if they knew better, God has mercy for them and for you and for me. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when the wood is dry? Two others also were criminals, were led to be put to death with Jesus. They were criminals. They were treating Jesus as a criminal. And Jesus only did good. He did not do anything that wasn't good. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Oh, that's the first word that he forgives. Forgives you. Oh, yes, he forgives you. You who are looking at the internet at things you shouldn't be looking at. He forgives you. Get to confession. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at Jesus, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked Jesus, and they were coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." But he was on the cross saving humanity. He is the new Adam who undoes what Adam did. Adam sinned, and Jesus became a sin offering. And even not only a sin offering, but cursed is the man who dies on a cross. He became a curse so that we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God. There was also an inscription over Jesus. "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Then save yourself and save us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since we are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Oh yes, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now we have access into the presence of God through the precious blood of Jesus. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all this, the acquaintances, including the women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, stood by at a distance, watching these things. I tell you, our salvation took place on the cross and in the resurrection. It is the finished work of the cross. It is not my good works that save me. It is the blood of Jesus that saves me. And when did I get into the blood of Jesus? At baptism. And now through faith and baptism. Remember, baptism is a life. It's not only an event. I tell you, I entered into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ at baptism. If you don't believe me, read Romans 6. Read Romans 6. It'll tell you what happened at baptism. "The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do you know today that Jesus went to the cross for you? Do you know that he is substituting for you and for me on the cross? He dies instead of us. We deserve death because we've sinned. But Jesus took our place, took your place. I tell you, get to confession. Get to confession. Get to confession. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.